Blog Talk Radio.
Let there be light in my life. Let there be roads to eternity. Let me cast aside the darkness that's surrounding me. Let me roam free like the spirit I was meant to be. Let there be light in my life, and let me know eternal peace. Let the waves upon this ocean sweep me off my feet, and let my heart fill with silence of the open sea. Dark thoughts, goodbye. Hello, clear blue sky. Never ending, reaching far beyond my dreams. Sun dances on my skin, and I'm in between. Light in my life, let there be roads to eternity. Let me cast aside the darkness that's surrounding me. Let me roam free like the spirit I was meant to.
Disconnected from the show once. Actually, I probably do know what happened. Mercury is in retrograde. That pesky Mercury. And my headphones do not seem to be working. So I'm having some technical difficulties here today already, and the show is just beginning. So you will bear with me with that, and anyone that's in the chat room, actually I don't see anybody in the chat room right yet. The chat room is open, so just let me know if whoever's listening, if you can hear me okay with these headphones, because I can't tell when I'm wearing them if you can hear me or not. All right, so today, let's see, January 28th, 2015. We are in a Mercury retrograde cycle, which, if you're not familiar with Mercury retrograde, Mercury retrograde very often brings problems with electronics and also communication. So if you're finding that you've had some difficulties in relationship because of communication the last week, be patient and be clear with your communication. If you're not sure what the other person is saying, ask for clarification or say, let me understand if I heard you correctly, or let me repeat back to you what I heard to be sure I understand what you're saying. That's always a great tool, and so few of us really use it. So think about that and use that tool, as much as you can. It's really a simple, simple thing to use. And we are in the year of course, 2015, and this year is an 8-year in numerology. And there are, hold on, let me make sure I did the math right. 2 and 1 is 3, and 3 and 5 is 8. Yes, 8. And 8 is, it can be about money, it can be about unity, it can be about worldly things, worldly events. 7, which is the year we just came out of, is about really privacy. And we saw so many instances and cases last year where many of our privacies were invaded through, the internet. I myself had an issue where I worked for the government for 26 years, and all our records got hacked into, medical records, everything. And that's happened to many of us around the United States and also around the world last year. And that, that's what a 7-year is about. It's about privacy. And the flip side of that, of course, is invasion of your privacy. This year is the symbol, if you turn the 8 sideways, it's the number of infinity, the symbol of infinity. So know that this year, the infinite is possible. We can, if we get on a loop that is one in harmony with spirit and with yourself, anything can be possible this year. The number 8 also represents money, and it can mean that you could have a big gain in money in an 8-year. It also means that you could lose a lot of money in an 8-year. And much of that depends on what your personal number is and what personal year you're in. So if you don't know anything about your own numerology, I really encourage you to find out about it. Glynis McCants is a great numerologist. You can find her on the internet. And also Ruth Dreyer in Texas is a fabulous numerologist as well. I highly recommend both of those wonderful ladies. All right, I just need to take a drink of water here. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to broadcast today because here in the Northeast, we just had a big blizzard. And I am looking out my back door with at a lovely view of the water with snowdrifts about 3 feet deep on my back porch, my back patio. I don't think I'll be going out the back door probably until April because we have more snow coming in 2 days, and then we have another big storm brewing next week. So I'm not so sure, like I said, that I'll be able to get out my back door until next April. The snow is so high. So I hope wherever you are that you are safe. And that if you are in the storm area, I know there's been weather all over the place that has been really sort of chaotic. I hope that you are well, faring well, and all is well in your life around that area. All right, so where to find me when I am off of Blog Talk Radio is cynthiafontaine.com. CYNTHIAFONTAINE. Really simple. You can also find me on Facebook, Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Medium. I am on Twitter, I'm on Pinterest, and I think I'm on Instagram, although I have to say, I almost never use Instagram, and I really don't use Pinterest that often, but I do tweet a lot, and all my Facebook posts do get tweeted out, so you can follow me either way there. So, what are we looking, what are we talking about the show today? Stepping into your best year yet. We're almost completed our first month of 2015, if you can believe that. This is a year that will just seem to fly by so fast because an 8-year will do that. And hey, so that being said, take every moment that you can and cherish it because it's going to go by in a blink of an eye. Like I said, we're already almost a month into the new year, and it seems to me like it was just days ago that we were celebrating New Year's Eve. So really think about how fast this year is going to go, and don't waste a minute of it. Live it to your fullest. And some of the ways that you can do that, one of the biggest ways that you can do that, is to really make this year about forgiveness. And understanding forgiveness. You know, our entire universe, your entire universe, weighs a total of about 3 pounds. Yep, that's right. Breathe it in. Take it in. 3 pounds. So what do I mean by that, that your entire universe weighs about 3 pounds? Well, your entire universe is your brain. That's right. It's your brain. What you think about is your universe. What you believe is your universe. Grudges that you hold create your universe. That's a big one. Breathe it all in. So, if you change your brain, guess what? You get a brand new universe. So where does your universe come from? Well, your universe comes from your original family, the family that you grew up in. And that's where all our wounds are created. And that's where we learn about life is created, how our family lives their lives, how they react to happy times, to sad times, to challenging times when we're growing up, becomes our universe because we only know what we grow up with until we step out into the world and then begin to learn that our family was only part of a big universe that's out there, part of what we can embrace and bring into the universe of your mind. So most all of us, I would say probably actually every human on the planet, has wounds from their family. And the strongest, most independent people are most often actually, they seem strong and independent because they are running away from a wound. They get strong and independent from being dependent and getting hurt. So if this is you in your life, and I know that this is how I presented myself to the world for a long time, that I was strong and independent and I didn't need anyone. I could do everything that I needed on my own. And not knowing as I lived my life for so many years that way, it was, of course, because I was strong and independent, because when I was dependent, either as a child or, you know, we all have to go through times in our lives when we need other people around us. When, for example, I blew the discs out on my neck and I was bedridden for a month, and then was basically incapacitated for 6 months, could not drive. I could sit up for about 10 minutes at a time. It was really quite an extraordinary process and quite a big injury. And I depended on other people to grocery shop for me, to help my family. I was a single mom and my kids were small. And even with that, one of the people who was really key in helping me during that time came around a couple of years later and wounded me tremendously. Just walked away from a friendship that had nothing to do with me. It was all about their spouse. And it was between an issue that the two of them had between each other. And the only way that the friend could reason with the husband to stay in the relationship was if she cut me out of her life, which was interesting. And I knew the reason why and what had happened, and it was something that my then friend had done, and couldn't take the responsibility for it. So anyway, but I got wounded in that relationship. And so then again, as many times before that, I decided that I didn't need people. And really, you know, face it, we all need people in our lives. That's what this planet is all about. It's all about relationships. It's all about community. There is no way that we can survive on this planet without other human beings. It's just the way it is. And if you think somehow that you can survive without others, you know, you're living in a fantasy world that is not on this planet. Seriously. So think about that, really. Oh, sorry, I had to have another drink of water there. I've just come back into my house. I've been out of my home since Saturday with the storm coming and everything. I have electric heat and no other heat source. And so I was at my boyfriend's for 4 days because we have a generator there. Anyway, so I was there for 4 days and it was actually quite a nice vacation, I have to say. I came back home this morning thinking, wow, I've had like 4 days off. I haven't had to answer the telephone. I haven't thought about work. It's been wonderful. Been really wonderful. I highly recommend that you take a little vacation, whether it's, you know, just going to a friend's house for a few days or checking yourself into a hotel, bed and breakfast, whatever. Just do it. It really revitalizes your soul up and gives you a whole fresh perspective. You know, I haven't slept that well in I don't know how long. And I stay at my boyfriend's house all the time. But the nice thing was, because we had a blizzard, neither one of us could go anywhere. And we just, you know, did things in the house. We cooked and we watched movies and, you know, we just hung out. And it was really, really great. I really enjoyed it. So there's something to be said for snow days. And if you get one, totally take advantage of it. And if you're in an area where it doesn't snow, pretend you to have a snow day. And just, you know, lock yourself in with your significant other or just with yourself. Turn the phone off and enjoy a couple of days of quiet and just solitude. I have to say, it was really, really lovely. I don't think the phone rang in 4 days, other than my dad calling to check in, because I had called to check on him, and checking on my daughter. Yeah, it was, that was it. It was really, really wonderful. All right. So back to your universe. What does your universe look like? What are the thoughts that go around in your mind? Because most of us have, I forget how many thoughts it is a day, but it's thousands of thoughts a day. But do you know that the majority of those thoughts are the same thoughts over and over and over again? And then guess what? You go to bed, you wake up the next day, and most of those same thoughts start over and over again. And it can be hard to break out of that cycle. And when you're living in a wound or from a wound, you will have most often, most likely, that cycle of repetitive thoughts going on in your mind. And every relationship that you come into, when you have not had the opportunity to look at your wounds and to heal them, and you can do that through, for example, Debbie Ford's work with the light side, what is it, the dark side of the shadow chasers, or the, look up Debbie Ford's work, and she does great work. Reese Thomas at the Reese Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine does great work. There's Carolyn Mace has great work talking about archetypes and woundology and why people don't heal and how they can. Really start to think about and do some soul searching about what wounded you. And wounds start actually in utero, and we are formed, all of our beliefs are formed between the ages of in utero until about the age 5 or 6. And then, you know, we do continue to grow, but our basic personality by the time we're 5 or 6 is there. And it is based on the universe of our families, what they believe, how they are in the world, and so forth. So I'll give you a great example. When I was in 7th grade, my best friend invited me to her house at one time, and it was for a sleepover Saturday night. And then she said, you know, we go to church on Sunday morning. And I said, okay. And I just assumed that they went to Catholic church because I was Catholic. And the funny thing is, in 7th grade, I had no idea there was any other religion besides Catholic. So how's that for living in the universe of your family? And talk about a small universe. So if you caught the beginning of the show where I said, your universe weighs 3 pounds and it's your brain, there's a great example of that. So I said, oh my God, what, you go to what church? What kind of a church is that? So she says, well, it's Episcopalian. And I said, Episco what? Oh my goodness. And so I was a little fearful because this is something totally new to me. I never knew anybody that wasn't Catholic. Well, at least I thought I didn't know anyone who wasn't Catholic, but as it turns out, my best friend was Episcopalian, and I had no idea because in my universe, everybody was Catholic. Wow, talk about an eye-opener. And of course, I've come to learn that there are thousands of religions out there, or thousands of fine-tuned aspects of big religions. You know, of course, there's all the main religions, and then there are different variations of those main religions. And it was very interesting to me to start exploring that. So explore things outside of your universe. Be open to the possibility that there are new and exciting things out there that you might actually enjoy. I've actually enjoyed immensely learning about other religions. And one religion that I'm learning about is the Kabbalah. And my professor, who I am taking my certification for spiritual phytoessencing, which essentially will give me my degree in homeopathic medicine, and this is my last year in that program. I probably will continue to study with Dr. Borkowski, and hopefully he'll continue to teach beyond this year. But once I do my year-long studies this year, then my certification will be complete as long as I pass the final exam. And it's been very interesting. The first year for me was very difficult because not only do we learn about homeopathic medicine in this program, but we also learn about essential oils, and we learn about each individual plant or tree or bush or shrub where the essential oil comes from, the whole life of the plant, the conditions, how it grows, is it fertile, et cetera, et cetera. So there's already like three programs wrapped into one, and then we add the Kabbalah on top of it. And this year we're adding astrology into it. So how exciting is that? But I feel really well equipped going into this year because now, you know, I have a really good foundation of previous years. And so it's exciting to me. So that's really expanded my universe. So where are the areas in your life where you have expanded your universe? You know, in the past, I lived from a wound of being not smart enough. Really good grades up through middle school, and then into the beginning of high school, and then somewhere along the line, I somehow got the idea that girls weren't good in math, because I didn't come from a rich family, I couldn't go to college, or I wasn't smart enough to go to college, that sort of thing. And I bought into that belief of that programming. I did not have anyone championing me from the sidelines in my family saying, you can do this, you can do anything you put your mind to. What in fact I had was my mother. Every morning at 7 o'clock after I graduated from high school, only needing no less a half a credit to graduate my senior year of high school, and I could have actually graduated a year early had the school picked up on that, but they didn't. So I only needed a half a credit my senior year to in order to graduate. And so then, even with that, the guidance counselor said to me, you're not smart enough to go to school. You should just go to community college. And I believed her, and that's what I did. I signed up for community college. It was an hour travel one way every day. During rush hour, it would be up to 3 hours. And I was paying for college myself. My dad did pay for one semester for me. But basically, my parents had just gotten divorced the year before, and my dad pretty much gave my mother everything, and he really didn't have a lot left to give. But he did what he could, and he actually took out a loan to pay for my semester of school and for my books. And I'm forever grateful for that. But still, my mother on the sidelines, who I lived with, every morning at 7 o'clock when I was going out the door to drive the hour to go to school, would say, I don't know what you're doing that for. You're never going to make anything of your life. Talk about hit somebody between the eyes. Whew, right? So have you ever had someone like that in your life? You probably have to some degree, maybe not that blunt, but you know, we've all had people who have been pessimistic in our lives who say, oh, you shouldn't do that, you can't do that, why are you trying that, and so forth. My message to you is, if you feel like it's
something that you really want to do, don't listen to the naysayers. Don't let them get you down. Listen to shows like mine. Listen to inspirational radio like Hay House Radio. Call in and talk to me. Call in to talk to Robert Holden on Hay House or Michael J. Chase or Colette Baron-Reed, one of my very good teachers. Call in and talk to somebody who can be your cheerleader, be on the sidelines going, yeah. And I see people in the chat room saying, we had the same mom, lots of laughs. You know, we're laughing now, of course, but then it's a difficult thing. And again, I didn't have anybody championing me on the sidelines. I had study art, you'll never make money. Right. I have some friends who are fabulous artists who make money. But of course, you know, we're told, oh, if you're going to be a singer, you'll never make any money. You're not good enough. If you're going to be an actor, oh, there's hundreds of thousands of actors out there. How could you ever do it? You know, you're an artist. You'll be a starving artist. And we take these beliefs in and we make them our universe. Everybody breathe. So, what is your universe like? Are you still living in that universe, in that 3-pound brain that came from your family of origin? A lot of us are. A lot of people are. I've been fortunate to have the most remarkable people come into my life. Really, the last, 6 years with first meeting Colette Baron-Reed, who's become one of my mentors and a fabulous teacher, and my medicine woman, Althea Gray, whose generosity and belief in me was just astounding for me. And those two people on the sidelines cheering me, saying, you can do this. You are authentic. You are the real deal. Whoever thought I would, 10 years ago, I would be on the radio. Even 5 years ago, never would it happen. You see, an interesting thing is I wanted to sing, and I wanted to sing professionally. And my senior year of high school, my choral director took us individually as we were trying out for an all-state competition, and asked us, what do we want to do upon graduation? And one of my things was, well, I want to sing, keep singing and sing professionally. And he looked right at me and he said, you'll never make it. He said, the best you can do is maybe sing pop, but you'll never make it. And I took that so personally. And the funny thing is, this guy couldn't hold a tune. And he was a terrible piano player, too. So as a music teacher, he shouldn't have been teaching music, first of all. But anyhow, he did, and that's who I had for a teacher. And I did go on and take some music in college, which I so enjoyed the professor that I did have. And I would have loved to have stayed in college just to stay with this professor and take more classes. But I just didn't have the money. I didn't have the belief that I could do it. I believed that, you know, this teacher must have known something, that I would never make it as a singer. And so at that moment, I stopped singing. I went to the all-state competition that year, and I was in a couple of different programs where I was with a trio and I was with a larger glee club chorus, and I didn't sing. I just mouthed the words. And I'll never forget that. The voice could not come out of my mouth. And since then, I have never sung publicly. And my voice has, you know, changed over the years, as many of ours do. And I find that now, because also I've partially lost my hearing in both ears, I have 40% hearing loss. I find that I can't even hear myself singing because I feel like it's so awful. So, but one of my goals on my bucket list in the next year is to take singing lessons and to get my voice back in tune. Even if I never sing professionally again, I want to sing. I love to sing, just like I love artwork. I'm a natural artist, and it was interesting because at the time when I blew the discs out of my neck, I was so bored. I was going nuts. I couldn't drive, and, you know, I was looking at the four walls. And so one day I decided, well, if I have to just sit here, I might as well sit here and do something I can do. So I had some paints that were, you know, the kids, and I brought the paints out, and I sat in the backyard, and I sketched my neighbor's house, and then I decided, you know, I'm going to try to paint. I've never painted before. I sketched at that point for years. I never really had any art lessons or anything. I had an art teacher in sixth grade once who, you know, was really encouraging about my artist capabilities. So I sketched out this picture of my neighbor's house from the view of my house and overlooking the water. And I took the road out of the picture because I thought I wanted it to be aesthetically pleasing. So I didn't put in the telephone poles or the road or anything like that. I made their front yard just sloping down to the water. And then I proceeded to do a watercolor of it. And I was pretty impressed with the way it came out. It was the first time I had ever painted, and it was the first time I'd ever used watercolor. And I framed it, and I gave it to my neighbors for their birthdays and their anniversary are all on the same day, which is interesting. The couple's birthdays and their anniversary was July 3rd. So I framed this picture, gave it to them for their birthday/anniversary, and at the time, I had no idea that Steve was an art teacher, because as long as I had been neighbors, I only knew him as a lobsterman, because that was his profession while I knew him. So he took the picture and then started critiquing it. And said, wow, this is really wonderful, and the way you've used this color here and the way it's blended there. And I thought, oh, my goodness, how could that be possible? And so I shared with him that it was the first time I had ever painted. And he was totally amazed that it was the first time I had painted and that it was watercolor on top of that, because apparently watercolor is very difficult to learn. So there weren't any beliefs that I might have had that I wasn't a good artist. And actually, that was one area where no one ever told me I wasn't a good artist or that I wouldn't make any money at art, because I never shared with anyone that I had a vision of being an artist. And there aren't any artists in my family who were actively participating in art or anything. And, you know, no one that went to the art museums or galleries or anything like that. So I didn't have the concept in my mind that I would be bad at it, or that, of course, I did grow up hearing from other people, you know, that artists would never make money. It's the starving artist. So I guess in my mind, I never considered going that way because I don't know. But so to have this first painting come out and for it to be looked at from a professional and for it to be so well received was really a wonderful and amazing thing for me. So what I say to you all is to follow your heart. You have to re-bargain with your universe of your mind from the programming that you received as a child, and even into your adulthood. You may still have family members who say to you, you'll never be an artist, or you'll always be a starving artist, or you'll never be able to sing, or you can't make a living at that, you know, I encourage you and challenge you to change your thinking. Change your thinking on that. And it can be really difficult to break out of the universe of your origin. So where do you start? Start by recognizing that you have a wound and look around you with the people that are in your life now and ask yourself, is this relationship built on a wound, or is this relationship built on solid, strong ground, from positive ground? Ask yourself, is this person, am I dependent, very dependent on this person, or am I independent? If you are, say, a very independent person, and you attract an also independent person, say the other person is, you're 100% independent, and the other person is even a stronger sense, has a stronger sense of independence, and they're 150% independent, then that puts you in a position of dependency, which will bring you back to your wound of you became independent because you were wounded by being dependent on others and getting hurt. So it's a vicious cycle. So how do we get out of the cycle? You start with forgiveness. Now, when you hear, most of us hear the word forgiveness, many of us, our minds begin to spin. Oh my God, how can I forgive Uncle Joe for doing that to me? Or how can I forgive my mother for being so cruel? How can I forgive my father for abandoning me? You know, many of the people who listen to my show or call in or seek my guidance have had abusive relationships in their past and growing up. Whether it's physical abuse or it could be sexual abuse, and you say, how can I forgive that person? Remember that forgiveness is not forgiving the act, and it's not actually for the person for whom you are forgiving. Forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness is the most selfish and supreme act of self-love that you can possibly give to yourself. So why is it so hard for us to forgive? You could say, if you had a misgiving with someone, and maybe it's a week or a day, or maybe it's a year or 10 years, you could just decide to walk up to that person and say, I forgive you. You could. But then your mind goes, oh my God, what if I did that? Then that erases what this person did to me. And it opens up the possibility that it can happen again, or something even worse can happen. That's our biggest fear, that when we forgive someone, by forgiving them or forgiving the act, it will be replaced with an act as equal or bigger than the one that we have forgiven. That's pretty serious stuff for us to believe in. We believe it not even on a conscious level. This is on an unconscious level. This is how the ego mind, one of the ways it controls you. And it tries to make you believe that, oh, no, you can't forgive that person for hurting you. If you do, they'll come back and they'll do it again. They'll do it again. So forgiveness is not about forgiving the person and then letting the person walk all over you again. Forgiveness is about forgiving yourself for allowing it to happen in the first place. And if you had no control over the event, especially if you were younger, if you were a child, if you were sexually abused or molested, or if you were physically abused, you know, like I was in both cases, you had no control over that situation. So all you can do is forgive yourself for holding yourself hostage in your mind to believing that you had to have done something wrong, I had to have been bad, because most of us were told that if it were found out by the family that those circumstances happened to us. So what do? You can say to the person, I forgive what you've done. And again, start learning to know that forgiveness does not give the person permission to do it again. Really breathe that in and take that in. Forgive yourself for staying in that thought. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the person that hurt you, but with your interpretation of the event. Even if a person is, you know, sick in the head, that had nothing to do with you. But yet we take it personally because the person did something to us personally. Become whole again. Become whole and start to take your power back. Surround yourself with people who are where you want to be. People who can say to you, support you, and say, I love your artwork. I see your soul in your artwork. Surround yourself with those people. Surround yourself with the people who can say, I love what you're teaching, or I love how you cook. Whatever it is, whatever makes your heart sing. And you don't have to do it for a profession, but just for the love of it. And if you choose to do it from a profession, when you come from your heart space, from your soul, from your core, from a place of loving, then that will shine out to the world, and the world will see that. And then people will begin to buy your artwork. People will begin to cherish the beautiful scenes that you create and your use of color and your expression, because your soul is showing through that artwork. So let your soul shine, not with the intention of ever selling a piece of art, but paint for the love of painting, draw for the love of drawing, photograph for the love of taking the photo, sing for the love of singing. Help others because that's what you love to do and it makes your heart sing. Live from a place of feeling good in yourself, about yourself, regardless of what others have said to you in the past, have done to you in the past. That is the best thing that you can do for yourself, that you can love yourself. Feel good about the things that you do with love. Whether it's find a baby rabbit in the spring and nurture this baby rabbit and bottle feed it until it's ready to go back into nature. If that's your gift to the world, honor yourself for that. Honor yourself for the wonderful things that you offer to the world, no matter how big or how small. It's not up to every single one of us to be out in the public eye like I am. That's my sole purpose. That's my life purpose. My life purpose is to be out in the public eye, sharing with you how you can live your best life and transform your life, giving you things that have worked for me, and hopefully some of them will work for you too. That's my life purpose. Part of my life purpose too is I'm a team player. And so I enjoy taking care of my team. And taking care of my team means nurturing them by cooking for them and having a lovely home to come into, one that's comfortable and not stuffy, you know, one that's lived in, but yet, you know, you can just take your shoes off and come in and plop on the couch and feel right at home. That's part of my life purpose. I love to have friends over. I love to cook for people. And that's just part of my giving nature. I love to give to people and to do things for people and help people. And it really feeds my soul. So what feeds your soul? And what feeds your soul may be something that you were told that if art is that feeds your soul, and you were told, oh, you'll never make a living at that, and you've taken on that belief, and the universe has shown you that because you believe that, it's going to keep giving you what you believe. Yeah, well, okay, well, you know, I'll never make money as an artist, and I'm a starving artist. Because the universe says if you're an artist, then you must starve. Okay, so how about change the belief? How about it? What if you had an opening gallery night and you had, say, 15 or 20 paintings in this open night? And it was a solo show, and you had everything ranging from, maybe 8x10 artwork to 30x40 inch artworks, or maybe even bigger canvases. And what if all of those pieces were sold in this opening night? What if? How would your life change? That is why we don't change. That is why we don't forgive others. And that is why most of us don't follow our life purpose and step into our core, who we're really meant to be and bring out into the world. It's the fear of what if. What if my artwork sold? What if now people were calling me for artwork and I couldn't keep up with the demand? That's a good problem to have. I think that's a great problem to have, you know. But maybe that's a problem that's too much for you to handle. It's easier to stay small and to be the starving artist, or to believe that, you know, you're not smart in math, you will never make anything of your life. You know, like I was told again every morning walking out the door to college. So for me now at the age of 50 to be in my final year for my certification for Doctor of Homeopathic Medicine is remarkable to me. And really, this really most interesting part of the journey has been, you know, learning everything that I've learned has been amazing and truly wonderful. But the funny thing is, the first year of the program, I never received my final exam back, and I never received my grade. So I didn't know if I passed or failed the first year. And so I took the fall the next year and took the final exam with some angst because I thought, I don't even know if I passed last year. How am I going to be able to do this year's test if I don't even know if I passed last year's course? And I panicked a little bit. I struggled with it a little bit. And I had all those feelings with, you're not good enough. You'll never make anything of your life. And I thought, you know what? Even if I don't pass, I know that I've learned a lot from this course. I know that it has tremendously expanded my awareness. And I'm going to do the best I can. And that's what I did. And so the first set of exams came back, the results from the exams, and my name wasn't there. But there was also a note that came along with it that said only half of the exams were corrected and that there would be a second email with the grades and everyone who for the rest of the class coming in the next week or so. And I waited and waited and waited and never saw the email. And I started panicking a little bit. And I had already signed up for this year's program. So finally, I think it was just before Christmas, I got a personal email from the professor that said, congratulations, you have passed your final exam, and congratulations on passing your first year and second year, and now you have a double certification, and I hope that you will continue with the program for your last year for your credential certification, where I can actually put all these letters and numbers on the end of my name now. At the end of this year, I'll be able to do that. And I just was so excited. And that one email changed my life in thinking that I'm not smart enough. I'll never make anything of my life. That one email. And now I think I can learn things that I'm interested in. You know, if you're not interested in algebra, it's going to be hard for you. Face it. But I am interested in natural medicine. I am interested in quantum physics. I am interested in studying science in the universe. And I love it. So find what you're interested in. Don't listen to those people who say you'll never be good at it. You'll never make any money at it. Whatever makes your heart sing and brings you great joy, follow that passion and bring it out into the world. Because when you live in the passion, in your core, in your soul being, and you bring that out into the world, that is what the world is going to see. That is what the world is going to feel. That's your true identity of who you really are. And the universe will embrace that, and it will bring key people and the right people into your life. So never give up in your dreams. Never give up in what you know is part of who you are and what you believe in. Follow that dream. Find a way to get out there. Oh my gosh, we only have 60 seconds left. I'm so excited. I wish we had another 20 minutes or an hour at least. So I have to sign off. I love you all so much. Find me at CynthiaFontaine.com, CynthiaFontaine. I'm on Facebook, Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Medium. I'm on Twitter, Pinterest. Go to my website. All the links are there. Check out my Alchemy of the Earth bath and body products. They're fabulous, all natural, many organic ingredients and vegan, kosher oils. You know, you'll love it once you try it. And I want to thank Kev Rowe for allowing me to use his music. You heard that at the beginning. Light in My Life. Check out his website, kev.rowe.bandcamp.com. I love you all. We're out of time. Have a blessed week. I'll see you next week. If there's a topic you want to see me cover, message me on Facebook. I love you all.
There be light in my life, let there be roads to eternity. Let me cast aside the darkness that's surrounding me. Let me roam free like the spirit I was meant to be. Let there be light in my life, and let me know eternal peace. Let the waves upon this ocean sweep me off my feet, and let my heart fill with the silence of the open sea. Dark thoughts, goodbye. Hello, clear blue sky. Never ending, reaching far beyond my dreams. Sun dances on my skin, and I'm in between. In my life, let there be roads to eternity. Let me cast aside the darkness that's surrounding me. Let me roam free like the spirit I was meant to. Let me